Can you determine the quorum?
Yes. Sarah Holmgreen?
Here.
Mara Lutomski?
Here.
Jay Lister?
Here.
Randy Moreau?
Here.
Cheryl File?
Excused. Okay, can we arise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have an addendum to the agenda, which hopefully everybody had a chance to see. I'll make a motion to add 14.9 personnel hire for the 2017-18 year.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to add personnel hire 14.9 to the April 11th, 2017 agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion passes 4-0. Now I'll make a motion to approve the agenda.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Are there any changes that anybody wants to make? Other additions? Pull anything out for discussion? Okay. I guess that's more of a consent. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next we have, I'm excited about this one, the student presentation. For those that are listening, it's One People Canoe Society paddle making presentation and Native Studies students presentation on the Elizabeth Paradovich celebration in Sitka. So we've got a couple things going on. So we're watching a video right now, it looks like, of more of the paddle making, but maybe we can have who is going to talk about it. Come on up.
Yes. Come on up, guys.
So, Derek Lopez, I'm here on behalf of Will Ware and myself, and I had the honor and privilege of participating in a paddle making class put on by Doug Chilton of the One People Canoe Society, as well as Jim Zeller. Tremendous class. I won't steal these guys' thunder as to what they'll share, but I'll go ahead and hand the floor over to these guys and then share a little bit more after that.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay.
Do you want to come over here?
Yes.
And talk to that? Is that all right?
That's
okay.
Fine.
Okay, thanks.
Well, the One People Canoe Society class was a great experience. It the paddle making was excellent. Excellently instructed. The design was made from using in case of like a voyager getting a canoe, but I have a floor over to Brandon.
Okay. So, like Chad said, we had amazing instructors there, Jim Zeller and Doug Chilton. They taught us how to make these paddles, and so. The great thing about this class was that everyone had a hand in making every paddle. And so from cutting out to sanding to the little fine touches, everyone had a hand in making paddles. This is my personal paddle that I did most of the work on. Someone else cut it out, but I had a lot of sanding and put the finish on it.
And then,
thank you. And then this is the paddle that I'd like to present to school as a token of our appreciation for letting us use the high school shop.
Oh, nice.
And like I said, everyone had a hand in making this paddle. And yeah, so I think we'll get it here.
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's so lightweight.
Yeah, so the design of the paddle is made out of red cedar, and so it's a very light paddle, very beautiful wood. And it can actually be used if anyone chooses to use it. But we decided to give it to school and have a token of appreciation just because it's beautiful.
That's nice.
And it's very likely that everyone at that workshop had a hand in making that paddle. So,
cool.
Yeah, I'd like to thank the school for letting us use the high school shop for this workshop.
Awesome.
How many people attended? Do you know?
I think it was around 16 is what it ended up being. Didn't quite fill up, but everybody just jumped right in. I think we started off with 24 slabs of wood ready to go. And we, by the end of 3 days of just dust flying everywhere, grinding, cutting, and all kinds of excitement and stories, we ended up with 24 paddles. People finished up their paddle and jumped right in, grabbed another slab of wood, and finished them up. And everybody came away with a paddle and had a few left over.
Nice.
Which kind of segues into step two.
Mm-hmm.
These aren't the fully traditional paddle for like a decorative paddle. They're a paddle, well, they are traditional in a paddle that is to be used. I've got the flat side here, and they're meant to be in salt water. And step two for us is actually working towards getting a canoe for the community to use, kind of as a part of our group that we've actually just formed. We've recently formed a 501c3, Will and I, and a legitimate fundraising leg to fundraise for a 30-foot canoe. So, and be something to promote cultural revitalization in Petersburg here, and kind of something to get us out into some of these other communities. And really just break down walls, get a bunch of people in a canoe and head over to other communities, work together, and mm-hmm. try to incorporate as much cultural revitalization in the process as possible. So pretty exciting stuff coming, but this was the first step and really got a lot of people fired up. And it was really neat when you can get a group of people together. You know, we all know each other. We live in the same island here, this beautiful home. And you just get together, and sawdust is flying, and people are sharing stories and working together, and end up producing just an absolutely beautiful product like this.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited for step two, but really want to thank a few folks for, you know, making this thing happen. Rachel Etcher, she set up signs in the office. Superintendent KP orchestrated a lot of getting staff on board and making that happen. Mr. Dave Owens, he had the shop ready for us, you know, ready to go and tools and totally set up. That was incredible. Super helpful with that. But the overall office staff for, you know, answering, as Will put it, his endless phone calls as to how many people have signed up and what the status was there. Definitely John KP for putting together a slideshow and just helping out, and his enthusiasm and everything he contributed to that. Also Ha'ani and Sea Alaska, they donated all the cedar slabs for us, and specifically Bill Bennett, and then of course Doug Chilton and Jim Zeller. Those guys are awesome. I mean, anytime you have a master carver and get to spend 3 days with them, you just learn so much, and especially the cultural aspect. I mean, in between the shavings and the sawdust flying everywhere was him telling some traditional stories and kind of tying this all together and really bringing community into it. And so very, very special opportunity, and on behalf of Ha'ayak Society, that's our newly formed 501c3. Kunis Chish, thank you very much. Oh, Ha'ayak means our canoe in Tlingit. Mm-hmm. So that's what we'll be using to raise some funds and get on with step two and get these things in salt water where it's supposed to be.
That's awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good night.
I like to
have some other students.
What on?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
I will not steal their thunder. They're going to tell you all about their lovely trip to Sitka. We ended up taking 9 of us over there for Elizabeth Bradovich Weekend, Founders Weekend on Mount Edgecombe. I'll let them talk while I kind of scroll through some pictures and you guys will talk about things. There's a couple of them.
It's just us.
No.
You guys
but yeah, it was a fun-filled, busy trip. I'll let them kind of go. Every single one of them had journals that we had to do every single night to kind of jot down everything that they learned and wrote down. And they did really, really well, actually, at that. And some of them wrote more than we thought they would. But just wanted to get some of the girls to come and talk about their trip. And thank you guys for letting us go on this trip and helping us go along. I think we had some jealous teachers in the building that knew what we were doing too. So, take it away. This is Leanne LaPerry and Heather Burke.
Hi. So, the first day we left from the plane, and we had an 8-hour delay or layover in Juneau, and we got to go to their museum there, and it was really nice. And learned on this trip a lot about Elizabeth Bradovich and what Founders Weekend is all about and what the whole Founders Week is supposed to be, or weekend. And it was really educational for all of us since some of us didn't know much about our tribes and stuff like that. And it was really nice, and it was just an overall great weekend. And the first day we got there, we just hung out, and we went to the Museum of Juneau, of course, and it was really nice.
Well, it's nice. Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's amazing.
A lot of history.
It's amazing.
And then the second, when we were actually in Sitka, we went over to the Totem Pole Park and the Sheldon Jackson Museum, and at the Sheldon Jackson Museum, there was a lot of information about a lot of different tribes and where we kind of come from, where our relatives and stuff like that. And okay, so we had to do our journals, and one of the things I wrote was while on this trip, I learned that Elizabeth Bradovich helped pass the Anti-Discrimination Act in 1945, and I didn't really know much about Elizabeth Bradovich until we got to actually go and see what everything was about. And we listened to a few speeches about it, and there was people who reenacted the whole meeting. And then I also learned that Adam Ware, William Ware's son, was my second cousin, his grandma, and like I got to meet a bunch of new relatives that I never realized were my relatives before, and I got to spend time with Cobral and our other chaperone, our female chaperone, Hannah Logan. We had a lot of fun.
That was fun.
That's great.
Yeah, and we walked through Kevin Park.
Yeah.
We got to see some whales.
Got to see some whales. One of the big pieces of Total Park was it was the site of the battle between the Russians and the Chicoquan Nakahiti people. So it was kind of the battle place of where it happened when the Russians first came over. And we got to watch a video at the United States Forest Service building and watch a lot about the history of Russian fur trade and all that stuff. So we had to go back and take a nap one day because they were getting cranky.
So much going on.
But I'll just kind of go through the pictures real quick. The boys woke up really early, so we took them over to go get some breakfast, but they'd never seen Mount Edgecombe, so they got to see the volcano. And that was pretty cool, and it was super sunny, but it was super freezing. So we did that. And this is kind of the beginning of the parade. It was pretty cool just to watch a lot of the groups kind of do their parade. My phone died, so I couldn't record, but George made an awesome video of everything with the GoPro. After we got done with the parade, we went to the A&B A&S Hall in Sitka, and this is the Mount Edgecombe at the Basking Dancers. And so it was also Founders Week at Mount Edgecombe, so we got to hang out at the A&B A&S Hall and watch the dancers from Mount Edgecombe do their dancing. And our kids are actually up on the top. There's a balcony where you can kind of walk all the way around on the top. And we wanted to play bingo, but it wasn't bingo. So we kind of did that. We got to watch them. These are videos. And then there's the cake. Elizabeth Bradovich's picture is on the cake. And our kids actually stepped in and helped serve the elders dinner that night and served the cake to all the elders that were there in the building and took out the trash and did a fantastic job. And then this is actually what Heather was talking about, the reenactment of the signing of the anti-discrimination law that was passed in 1945. And that's why they have Elizabeth Pridevich Day on February 16th is because of this. And she was a huge piece in that whole movement of getting rights for Alaska Natives. And so the Edgecombe group did the reenactment there. So we just kind of went, and then we got to visit with Byron Nikolai, who is a Yupik dancer, who is bringing back traditional Yupik song. And so this, we got invited to watch this show with the Mount Edgecombe students. So it was a kind of like a private watch show with them. So we got invited and got to listen to him sing and dance, and he's actually really, really good. Had some funny songs. And then this is the whole group dancing that is from his village, because he was like related to 3/4 of the students there. So they came down and did a traditional Athabaskan dance. They didn't tell you about this, but we got to go to the Alaska Raptor Center and get a private tour there. And you got to see some pretty cool birds, some weird ones too. And that's an owl and a falcon. It's a peregrine falcon that flies like 203 miles an hour. And then that's the second smallest owl in the world on the right hand side, and the second smallest falcon in the world on the left hand side. And they have to keep them separated because the owl, they said, is really mean and was picking on the other.
So,
Hannah Logan wanted to steal the owl because it was so cute and put it in her purse. But and then they had some snowy owls. They brought the owls out for us. That was a snowy owl. A lot of these birds are all injured, and they go to the Raptor Center, so we got to learn a little bit about native birds across Southeast Alaska. And then this is the whole crew at Totem Park before we went on our long walk, and it started snowing on us, so they got to see a lot of the totems there, and that's us in the historical place. There is 4 totems to the right of us that are all 200 years old, the actual originals found there in Sitka. So, and then this is the Sheldon Jackson Museum, which I did not know, is the largest collection of Native Alaskan artifacts in the world.
Wow.
So they have over 10,000 pieces. Over 10,000 different pieces. So it was pretty cool to do all that stuff.
Interesting.
So, questions? It was pretty fun.
I do want to thank Jamie for organizing this. He and Rachel did quite a bit of work on that too, but just that we really have talked about doing something like this and utilizing some of our Indian education funds to do an activity that's a really powerful cultural event for the kids, so I think it was.
And it has started a trend now, because now these gals, I think, are part of a group and working with Hannah at PIA, and you guys are going to be mentors, and they're starting beading and working on regalia and dancing as well. So Heather's going to do that.
You can too.
So they're going to be doing stuff outside of school coming up here and in the summer, so it's starting to progress and all that stuff.
Some revitalization maybe in our community, Derek was talking about too.
Yeah.
So it's exciting.
Thank you for coming. And
thank
sharing.
You. Thanks, Jamie.
All right. Next, we'll move on to student representative report, Casey Evans.
All right. Well, just got back from Music Fest. That went well. Pennies for Patience is going on right now. That's going to end on April 21st. The middle school is also participating, and still plenty of time to bring pennies, so please do. We don't have that many right now, so we need more participation. The ASB officer speeches for the 2017-18 school year will be held on Tuesday, April 25th. Signups are in the Commons, and school board representative position will be elevated to be more involved with the ASB executive board. Been talking about that recently. We're possibly going to have a advisory vote next year.
Mm-hmm.
So be a lot more to that job next year, and still discussing how it's going to work within the ASB, if it's going to be an executive board position, or if it's just going to stay the same but still kind of keep in touch with the executive board more. Mm-hmm. We're not sure about that yet. Baseball is just starting up along with track. We've got prom coming up on April 29th at the Sons of Norway. The last SAT of the year will be on May 6th, and yeah, that's it.
Busy spring.
Final push. Thank you. Yeah. Correspondence? Do we have any? Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? Comments from the audience related to agenda items? Seeing none, we'll move on to comments from board members.
I just wanted to recognize Isabel Eath. She received one of the June Nelson AASB scholarships that were awarded at the last state school board fly-ins. So she was a recipient this year. Good for her. That's awesome.
And then we'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Okay. Irene, can you call the roll?
Yes. Jay Lister?
Yes.
Mara Lutomsky?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgreen?
Yes.
Randy Marole?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 4-0. Next on to administrative reports. Superintendent report. Erica Clinton-Painter, but it sounds like okay. You were saying earlier that a lot of your report would be involved with the agenda.
It's going
agenda.
To involve a lot of things on the agenda with the budget and with legislative update and Alaska Safe Children's Policy adoption. So I think I would just quickly want to say I just returned from Juneau from a trip up there to the legislative fly-in. I went up on Saturday and just got back this afternoon. And it was a long few days listening to a lot of people talk about education who don't necessarily know a lot about education. And it was hard to hear it discussed in a way that was, I felt a little bit like a pawn, and that was sort of how a lot of the administrators felt that were there, and there were a lot of different people around, but the Senate dropping the bomb last week about a 5% cut at this stage of the game, this time in a budget cycle or in a year, is really can only be seen as a game of some sort, really. So it was a little frustrating to try to have conversations with legislators about that, to have real conversations about it, because it clearly can't be sustained, a 5% cut at this point, for any district. But there are actually districts that will, could potentially lose enough programs that they could actually be in serious jeopardy. So it was a frustrating few days. There were some bright spots. There are definitely some people working very hard up there on behalf of education who are supporters. And I actually am going to try to put together, I think, kind of a list of people that you may want to communicate with, actually to give them some support. Quite frankly, they're tired. We do have some pretty tireless supporters up there who are fighting a pretty strong battle. So I'm going to work on that, and then also try to put together an accurate list of people to communicate with who maybe don't quite have a picture of what it might look like for our individual students. But the names keep changing, actually. It's Senator Dunleavy was kind of removed from a committee, and I just got another email about that, and so they keep shuffling people around. It's pretty divisive up there right now. There's a lot at stake, and we all know that there's a lot at stake. I don't think there's anybody who doesn't get that. But it's tough to read some of their policy statements and their bill headings, that talk about education being their number one priority, and then not backing it up. So it was frustrating. So I have more things I can add with bills and all that, but that's kind of where my head is right now. So I'm very grateful to be in a community that that is supportive of its kids and its schools and its teachers, and I'm just grateful to work here. So I'm grateful for a supportive school board and people who care about what happens on a daily basis with our kids. So thank you.
Well, thank you for going up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it can be disheartening, but if nobody shows up, then nobody knows.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to get that message.
And there are people trying. I'm not trying to be all negative. There really are people fighting and trying to be reasonable and trying to solicit good ideas and trying to look at that sustainable future and a plan. And there really are good people trying to do that. But they're fighting quite a battle. So, anyway. Thanks.
All right, we'll move on to principal reports. First, Principal Tolan.
Thank you, and good evening. I will just report on how our PEAKS testing went. We finished that up just this week, and I am so proud of our students and our staff and the way they handled the PEAKS testing. There were some bumps with the test itself and some technology, but it was really impressive the way that our students rolled with it and did not get flustered, and so it says a lot to how they're being trained and the support we've had in our technology department, and thanks to John and Caleb and everybody who's worked so hard to do that, and Bridget Withcock, we appreciate her. We also were doing the pennies for patients, and information went home with children, and we appreciate everyone for supporting that throughout the district. So I also sent out a playground advisory committee invitation to students, to families, to staff. We are working to redesign our playground in increments. We have some ideas for this summer, but we'd like to get ideas from people throughout the community. So if you would like to be on that committee, please contact the office, and we will be happy to put you on that committee. Yearbook orders are, you can order yearbooks through Thursday, and we want to thank Marla Tomsky and Mary Ellen Anderson for helping kids put that together. They're $13. You can still order them online, but the paper orders were to have been in earlier, but there still is time if you're interested. On tomorrow night, we have our exploratory night for the fourth and fifth graders at 6:30 at the auditorium. This is a time when community members can come in and see what our students have been doing outside the realm of the normal academics that we do. We have guitar and drama, and we just would like to share that. So we invite people to come to see that performance. And then the next evening, on Thursday, we have our kindergarten open house at 6:30. And invite all parents of kindergartners to come. Make sure you bring your birth certificate, and we have some paperwork for you to fill out. If your child is not in preschool, we may not have them down on our list, so please contact the office or just show up tomorrow or Thursday evening, and we'll be happy to help you out with that. We have a great big group coming in, and we're really excited about it. And we have in-service coming up on the 21st, no school for students. Teachers will be working in the morning on ASTE training, and we have some teachers that are helping with that, Becky Martin and Mary Midkiff, and so we're excited to see what they have to bring to us, and I know there's some high school teachers as well, so they'll be doing that, and then working on our new science kits and seeing how they what they have in them and how they're going to use them next year. Our paraprofessionals will be completing their MANT recertification, and that is where they are trained on handling students whose emotional, they are elevating emotionally, and to help them de-escalate. So it's important training. On the 24th of April, we have appointment with Carl Hagerman from the borough. He's going to come in and help kids know what is recyclable and how to recycle. And we already learned that it's not that we don't have a lot of people signed up in the community for recycling. It's just that it's not done properly, and so it creates problems. So we're thinking that if we can get the kids involved and participating, then it will help the entire town. So we have our DARE graduation coming up on April 26th. A big thank you to Officer Pop for coming in and working with our students, our fifth grade students, for 10 weeks. And he works on skills of decision making, and it's been a very successful program this year. And then we have our fourth grade sticking trip coming up. That's very exciting. So fourth grade parents will be hearing more about that in the coming weeks. So lots going on as we wind down our year, but it's all going very well. So any questions?
You guys are busy.
We are. We are. It's great. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Next, we have Principal Dormer.
Is that a long way from that thing? Not standing on the stool. Hi, good evening. Yeah, there's a lot going on, exciting times. A lot of this is a list of the exciting stuff going on. We did just end the quarter three there in middle school and high school, and it's exciting. And the middle school had a dance, which was kind of a fun activity night for kids to go out and play in the gym and dance together and or stand around while the music plays and kind of watch each other for a while kind of thing. But they really had a good time, so appreciate all this. I know a lot of staff come out and give up their evening to support kids and get in there, and you see them playing with them. That's really awesome. So thanks to the middle school staff and the great kids there showing up. A lot of the stuff that Casey talked about, Pinch for Patients, just, you know, mom and dad out there, we're doing a fun thing in the high school because they're losing badly to the middle school. There's not that there's really even a direct competition, but it's fun to compare because they do, at the end of the day, the Pinch for Patients, you know, the support for leukemia, lymphoma research, of course, benefits. So they're losing bad. We're encouraging high school kids to dig through the car cushions, you know, finding the little ashtrays. Your mom and dad might have some change stored and bring in those pennies. Again, we can take silver, you take paper money, and it's kind of a competition in both buildings. So keep that going for another week and a half. ASB elections are coming up in the high school. The middle school does their student council elections in the fall, but the high school likes to do them in the spring and actually have an overlap of a monthly meeting and have the kind of outgoing talk to the new crew. So if kids are out there, mom and dad, you know, talking to their kids, the sign-ups are right here in the commons, and kids can run, and there's lots of options there. They can come in and ask at the office for details. It's a fun time to get kids involved leading the school. Earth Day is coming up too, and the middle school does a really great job, and thanks to Joanne Day for leading that. That's fun on the 20th, and you'll see the middle school kids out there in groups being supervised to help pick up trash, which is a great thing to do. And then they do some fun activities and watch some cool, you know, movies and stuff on that about our Earth and the amazing things about our Earth and our planet. So that's a fun day. That's coming up there on April 20th. Again, in-service day is coming up, and you heard about that. It's exciting. Kind of a list of things. The advanced placement exams are coming up in early May. So students are starting to sweat and get down to the nitty-gritty there. National Honor Society and National Junior Honor Society will have their induction ceremonies here soon. There's a financial literacy fair coming up. So it's just, again, it's a really, really busy time, exciting time. You'll see kids all over the place doing all kinds of different things for this. Come out and enjoy some great music as they wrap up their kind of that season there, too. Middle school band concert on May 4th. High school band concert on the 25th. Okay, just making sure it wasn't getting a dirty look there. Awesome programs, and the spring concerts are always kind of cool just because they've gotten to the maximum, you know, for that year. They've been practicing for months and months and months, and so it's cool to kind of hear those great performances and see the kids do that. Prom again is coming up. Thanks to Chris Akata and Jill Lenhardt. This is not as you know, it's not like they go set up the week before and that's it. I mean, it is months and months, and if you know young ladies and gentlemen who are involved with prom, they're very passionate about. Very few things in high school are they as passionate about as prom. So God bless them, I guess it's a nice thing to say, for the work they do. But again, the kids work really, really hard too, which is exciting. They order and they got prices and they got a budget and all that kind of stuff. So it's good life skills, but it's a good event, and that's coming up here at the end of the month. So any questions for me? Okay, thank you.
It's been a while since I saw you folks. I'm traveling too much. I think the last time I saw you was right before we headed to basketball regionals. So if you guys didn't get all that, we boys did a great job as state champs, cheer 3 years in a row as region champs. So they impress the judges there. The judges were taking video of them too, like, they're really good. So they did awesome. Yeah, lots of stuff going on right now. We head into our spring activities. Middle school volleyball just got back from Wrangell this past weekend. They did great there. Gave Craig a loss for their first loss of the year. So they did awesome. Kids did great. Bergen got both her serves over, and she got two kills. It was awesome. Woo! Place was going nuts. No, she didn't fall down at all. You should have heard the other girls just, woo, the place was rocking. It was good, though. Baseball, we have our highest number of participants in years. That we actually have a JV squad this year, so we're at about 19, 20 kids almost. Track and field, we're at about 40-something kids right now involved almost. So a lot of kids participating in that one. And then middle school track, right now we have 28 signed up for middle school track coming out here shortly. So a lot of kids staying busy. We are going to have our first home baseball game the 28th versus Juneau Douglas, which will be great games here the same weekend as prom. The big one that is coming up, though, is that we are hosting Art Fest that comes through once every 6-7 years. And Ashley Lohr, cannot give her kudos enough. She has been working hard on getting all the plans ready for all that. We've got some pretty cool sessions, even had people who've retired from Wrangell call up trying to get into the community section of watercolor with Pia, and it is full and they are sad. So Monty Buness is trying hard to get some people in that one. So, but it is going to be fun. We've got a lot of cool things happening that week. And a lot of cool people coming into town to put on some of those classes. So Tommy Joseph coming from Sitka, who's the big-time totem carver, very, very nationally recognized guy. He's coming over, too, so it's pretty neat on all the things that were coming. So for 3 days, almost 4 days, next week, we are going to be filled with art people here in town who are going to be working hard towards some pretty cool stuff. So, and then Truck and Field is going, and, yeah, all sorts of stuff. And it's almost time for Little League season outside, I think. So that's about it. Question.
What time is the community event on that Sunday?
6:30. Okay. 6:30 p.m. on Sunday evening, okay, in the gym. Yeah.
6:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the 23rd, right?
And that is the 23rd, mm-hmm. Yes. So that's, you guys will get to see all the artwork and things that the kids will be making there. So pretty cool. And every section is completely filled. So, mm-hmm. And wow. We have some schools coming for the first time ever to Art Fest. And so nice. It'll be very cool.
Thank you.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Okay. Director of Finance report.
I actually don't have a report because
that's
I'm going to be talking quite a bit.
Yeah,
a little
that's
bit.
Fine.
I'm trying to keep your time.
That's fine. Quite the bit. Director of Maintenance report, Mr. Tate.
I'll have to do all my talking now, then, because I don't have anything later. All right. It's been a while since I've been here. I don't want you to feel like I don't like to come here, but it takes a while to generate some interesting things to talk about. So I think maybe tonight I've met that goal. So without further ado, I'd just like to recap on spring break. I know that I did a written report on that. I don't think the public heard kind of some of the things that went on, so just quickly highlights. Over spring break, we deep cleaned our bleachers, various bathrooms were deep cleaned as well, the high school commons and all the hallway tiled walls were well cleaned, auditorium drapery was vacuumed, elementary staff room received a new stainless sink and faucet, I know they're very excited about that. All school entrances and both the middle school and the high school commons had their carpets and all their entrance mats shampooed, and the hallway garbage cans were scrubbed inside and out, and that's just a quick list. There was many other things that went on, but I'd really like to commend my staff. The ones that were working over the break were Eric Hoff, Rance McIntosh, Dan Yuen, and our long-term sub, Warren Brown. Great job for those guys. We really appreciate it.
And
guaranteed. Thank you. I did do a few things this time. Current projects. Let's start with the auditorium seats. Maybe some of you have noticed, been off to the movies or some of the other events that we've had recently. All the seat pans have been reupholstered. We have to thank our community member John Haverlick and also Doug Cromlin, who came in and did a lot of that work. And of course, Rance McIntosh did all the hardware work with the springs and the buttons and the screws and nuts and bolts to make the seat bottoms work. So what's left is the seat backs, and that is a very time-consuming project. much more so than the seed bombs. While John was working on the project, he came up with the idea that perhaps he could go out and seek some grants, and therefore we could take some of that money, if we received it, and turn it into a fund that we could use to hire some outside help to maybe come in and work that project more quickly than my staff can do it. So far, John has received a pledge from the Chamber of $1,000, and he believes that we'll be seeing another pledge or a grant of some sort by Mayfest. We'll just have to stay tuned on that. And again, that will probably be handled by the movie theater, as they are the ones who have actually put all the money into the materials, and we just volunteered our labor to the project. So we're probably going to leave it in the hands of them to dole out the money, and I will help find the person who will be doing the seed. So yeah, joint project in that sense. Bleacher seating. As we all know, our aging bleachers, plastics are fatigued and they're falling apart on us. Well, upgraded parts came last week, and we have a very much more robust design than the ones that are there. And Brands and Warren were able to, I believe, complete one full bleacher last week. And we were just waiting to work through the roller derby that happened Saturday night. And then we're going to get started on the main bleacher here probably in the next week or so. So we have as much of it done as we can, if not all, by our Mayfest celebration and then graduation, of course. And we believe it's a doable project. So that's what we'll be working on next. The Art Room Kiln was completely rebuilt utilizing new elements. Ms. Lore gave me an enthusiastic thumbs up today, and I believe she believes it's ready for Art Fest, so that was a good thing to have off our list. And Rance has been doing various work on several of our HVAC machines around the district. Our HVAC, of course, is our heating and ventilation machines. Several of them are decades old, and some bearings need to be replaced, one fan motor. And some heating coil valves are being replaced by him, and he's doing a good job on that. Status on improvement projects throughout the district. This is hot off the press. As I was preparing my presentation for tonight, I got word from the State Fire Marshal's office that they've approved our kitchen project.
Oh, good.
So from here on out, we can start moving forward with having contractors come in and doing some of the work ourselves. So planning will go forth on that very quickly. The sprinkler pipe replacement project, as we all know, we did half of that project over Christmas break, and I'll be gearing up to receive bids and all that in the next month here, so we can have that scheduled for this summertime. And I'll bring that information to you when it happens. Another exciting thing that just dropped on my lap last night is the conceptual drawing design for the playground that came from Covis Design up in Juneau. And I went ahead and I made copies for the board. And if I may here, I'm going to try to grab the smart board. Are you running it, Erica? And I can put it up for everybody else here. Yep. Just a sneak peek. Again, this is just conceptual information. And as you heard earlier in Ms. Tolan's report, she's putting together a committee that can actually give input to the final design of this. So what we're looking at here, maybe get it a little bit bigger. There we go. This is the library end, and the idea that the architect had basically was to soften up our district, especially elementary school. It's a building out in the middle of a muskeg, basically, and there's nothing but rock around it, hard soil. So the idea was to take the playground on the library end of the elementary school and move it down to the cafeteria end, where we'll have an ADA compliant in more improved playground, as we've all heard and talked about. But as you can see, this conceptual drawing has a nice wandering path with seating on it, an area for an outdoor classroom, an idea for perhaps another greenhouse, and I'd actually like to acknowledge one of our staff members, Eric Hoff. This was his idea, should this come to fruition at some point. Our boiler room is attached right where the greenhouse is, and that boiler room's ambient temperature is usually around 80 to 85 degrees, very warm. Mm-hmm. The thought was, from Eric, why not pump some of that hot air into a greenhouse, and perhaps it could be used for fundraising activities. The students could plant tulips or something like that, or whatever the project might be, and we could turn that into some funds for some other things that the school might need. But again, that's just conceptual, and the architect listened and tried to work that possibility in for us. I'm just going to jump over to the other end. This is our cafeteria end. And not a whole lot to look on there, just a bunch of boxes. but for the most part, the whole idea is we're going to put the large jungle gym from the library and underneath the covered playground with a rubberized safety surface that's ADA accessible to all students. And then we'll have some covered play area, and kids can stay nice and dry, and everyone else can lounge underneath the roof and watch their kids play if they're coming after school. We also have in storage swing sets that we have purchased, and we would probably put those alongside the fence. You can see it on the right side of the drawing, kind of central. There's a three-base swing there and a tree swing. It says tree swing, but I believe it's a tire swing. Oh, yes, it does say tire, not tree, doesn't it? Okay. And also an idea for an artificial play turf surface, so they can have their ball games, and they can have maybe a little pickup soccer or something like that, too. So, again, all conceptual ideas, and Ms. Tolan is just waiting for people to join the committee and throw in some more ideas, and we can finalize a plan that we can incrementally build over the next few years. All right. One other project I was directed to work on was to put out an RFP for a multifunction school activity bus. This next bus will have to be an ADA accessible bus. I just have a picture of our current bus on there. We picked this one up a couple years ago for about $23,000, if I remember correctly. And what we'd be looking for this time around is a previously owned 14-passenger bus that could be converted to 12-passenger plus one ADA person. And it would have a rear ADA lift in the back. These buses are a little bit hard to come by, so we're keeping the parameters fairly loose at this point. We're not under any obligation to buy anything. We're just looking for prospects at this point. But we thought ideally 2007 or newer, ideally 50,000 miles or less, a gas engine versus a diesel, and something that had been reconditioned inside and out. And we've been using this bus as purchased the, I should back up, the original bus that we, I just dropped off the screen up there. That's not too bad, though. Let's see if I can get it back in a second. I'll just finish up on the bus here. The fact that something we're using the bus that we purchased 2 years ago to as a template for purchasing this one, and that turned out to be a pretty good deal for the district. So, and then with that, we hope to, once we bring on the next vehicle, start retiring the vans that we promised that we would do. So, all right, I'm going to try to get back on here because I'm going to move on to my last item of the night. And I want to project that as well. I have for you our winter energy use. I thought that might be of interest since this is a colder winter. And the first sheet you have in front of you is the, didn't want to go that way with the screen, is Stevin Elementary's electric use. And I put them first because that is an ideal situation. So hats off to Stevin Elementary. Their electrical use has dropped for the third year in a row. Average monthly cost at the elementary school for electricity is about $2,600, and that's down from about $3,000 a month average. And so very, very good work over there. I'm assuming there's some conservation going on, plus all the improvements we had done 2 years ago. So, and the high school, middle school is not too far behind, considering that they don't have all the improvements that the elementary school has, and I'm very pleased with their electrical usage as well. It costs us about $5,000 a month to keep the lights on and all the electricals running at the high school and middle school. Overall, we're probably looking at about a $50,000 annual cost this year, which will be our lowest in 3 years, is what I'm projecting. Actually, I should back up about $52,000 to $55,000 is what I'm projecting for the end of the year on that electric bill.
Does that include the VOTEC and
no.
the gym?
The VOTEC, it includes our gym. But
the gym. So I was wondering about the new lights.
The lights
too.
Help as well.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Correct. The VOTEC is next. We discussed this one a little bit last year when I brought it up. The blue signifies Mr. Pop's tenure, and then the red was Mr. Owens' first year as an instructor. So a little different usage of the classrooms, perhaps. I think some new equipment was brought in. We surmised a few things. But, of course, this year is, and forgive me, I'm colorblind here. Is that green?
It's green.
Okay. Just wait till we get to the next graph. But anyways, with the addition of the LED lights and, you know, perhaps Mr. Owens' second year getting more comfortable with his classroom, the energy use has been great. Not exactly sure what happened during the holiday break. There was a spike there, but I also know that it was occupied quite a bit. I know Mr. Owens was in there, and we did a few things as well during Christmas break. So other than that, I'm pleased with the VOCAD building. Coming up next is the district office's electric bill. The thing to note here is they use electric heat. There's two electric furnaces up in the attic, and so when the temperature goes up, so does the electrical use. But for all in all, there's a predictable pattern there at the district office. It costs about $257, averaged over 3 years a month to keep the lights on in there. So not bad at all. Now, moving on to the ones that we don't manage but we pay for, we have the Aquatic Center, and our average monthly cost there, again, averaged over 3 years, is $12,740. And actually, this year has been quite high with the winter weather. Our average so far, and all the bills aren't in yet, is about $14,000 a month. So I'm projecting that by the end of this fiscal year, we'll probably pay $159,000, $160,000 on the electric bill at the Aquatic Center. Next is the community center, and when you look at that, I don't know what to tell you. The electrical use is all over every year. There's no predictable pattern. Our monthly average monthly cost is about $832 to keep them going. And I'm projecting about $10,000 for this fiscal year. And then we're into our fuel use, and I was really kind of nervous, and it actually didn't turn out to be as bad as I thought. And the blue indicates 4 years ago, this is the high school. That's when, before a lot of our conservation practices were in place and before I became director of maintenance. And then you can see that for the following 2 years, we had fairly low fuel use, but we also had pretty mild winters. And this year is a pretty good example of what can happen when we have some cold winter spikes, which we did in early November, December, and then reprieve in March. You can see the drop-off there in February when we were all basking in the warmth. So, and so was our bill, obviously. But, so far, I'm projecting that we'll probably spend about $95,000 on our fuel bill for the middle school and high school. And that also includes the VOTEC and the community gym, because we pump hot water to their air handlers as well. And just to wrap this up, I know I've been talking for a long time, Stedman's fuel use, actually very quite good. The blue indicates the pre-renovation, and we went through, what, $90,708 of fuel that last year before the renovation. And then the year after that, we dropped to $39,600, and then the year after that, down to $29,200. So far to date, we're at $29,000, give or take, and I'm projecting about $34,000 this year. But interesting thing about the two fuel graphs is this year the patterns pretty much match from Stedman to the middle school, high school, and that tells me that I think we're running things fairly efficiently and we're just kind of at the mercy of the weather at this point. So. Are there any questions? I know there was a lot of information.
Thanks, Jim. It's great information.
Yeah. I'm curious on the elementary school, have we started socking money away for something like that, or is this the beginning stages of the development?
The playground,
excuse me. Yeah.
We were attempting, since we're trying to make it an ADA compliant playground, we're going to borrow some funds from there. We're also going to, for the safety services, apply for grants with our insurance company, which will match up to $10,000. Mm-hmm. And Karen has a little trick that says that we can also apply in June, the end of the fiscal year, and in July at the beginning of the fiscal year, so we can double down on that. So that's kind of our plan.
Okay.
And then we'll incrementally work forward.
That's what I was thinking.
For
ADA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's where the initial push is going to be.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It would be great to have somebody as interested in helping with the program.
Well, I was at a playground down in Oregon on spring break that had a really cool dual, where you have a baby, you know, those toddler ones, mm-hmm. and then a regular swing, and so then as you're sitting right across from them on this whole apparatus, mm-hmm. so you could have two swinging on one, taking up one space. It was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
I had to take a picture, and I thought, I'll get it.
My only question is, do you guys use the playgrounds at the same time? With
No, never. Mm-hmm. Never.
So that would be a reason to except maybe extra recess, but not yeah. not scheduled recess. Yeah. I don't think.
So then one would be enough.
Finding one that's more of an actual playground and one that's more of an area for other activities was how you kind of talked to us about it.
I would think on a sunny day like today, that outdoor classroom might get used a lot. Yeah. Is it? All right. Thank you, Dan. All right, moving on to our school board subcommittee reports, curriculum and technology. We had a work session just for the listening public where we did get to sit down with the science teachers, and they went through the curriculum that they were looking at for next year, and we spent close to 2 hours talking about it, K through 12, and looking at, I guess we saw the, I guess I don't want to call it a map, because it's not a map, I guess they're diagrams for what they teach, and where they get kids, you know, so that they're covering certain topics, and I felt pretty well informed about what the staff was doing K through 12, and it's later in the agenda, but that's what they've been working on all year, so it was nice to see all their hard work. And technology, we did meet. We had approved previously to spend money on a new phone system, and myself and Erica and John sat down with the two vendor quotes and then went through our rubric that we have and scored it and ended up going with Ring Central. So that's kind of started in the works. I believe John's already working hard on it. To we'll maintain some of the phone lines, 772 numbers that we need to, but eventually we'll be majority of them will be over voice over internet. And then some backup things, like we even thought of what happens if the internet's down and it is a school emergency. So there'll be cell phones that will be designated as only emergency ones that office staff will have. So we kind of went through all those pieces that day. So that's kind of the update on technology and curriculum. So we'll move on to crisis and policy. Cheryl's not here, but I think you had a policy committee.
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
We met.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Last week, I think really what we covered will be on new business, and then we've just kind of started going through each section of the policies and reviewing them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay. Wellness and facilities.
With wellness, I believe Ginger's going to talk in just a little bit, so we'll give her. We did meet with the facility committee on Friday, talked about our capital improvement projects and how to strategize that. We're not getting any money from the state, so it's kind of whether to keep continuing spending money on going through that or whatnot. Mm-hmm. I think basically our capital improvement projects are staying the same.
Mm-hmm.
We're hopeful, but not overly optimistic, I guess. So
yeah,
that's about it for that.
Okay, thank you, legislator. A big fat report there.
So the Senate presented their budget in that it includes a 5% cut to education, which is about $65 million. Overall, the House fully funded at the current levels that we're receiving for BSA. So now they will work towards trying to come towards some agreement in conference committee. And I don't believe that those players have been set yet on who will be in those conference committees. But that's a large gap to try to come together with, so that will be very interesting conversations going forward. A 5% cut, we'll hear from Karen later on in the meeting about what that would really look like in our district money-wise, and we run a pretty lean budget, so and of course, you know, one of the hardest parts of the legislature cutting our budget is because for years state statute has limited us to 10% savings. So it's not like we have been able to save and save and save and save and save for years waiting for this cut to possibly happen. You know, we've been maxed out on savings every year. So a large cut wouldn't be sustainable, but we'll hear more from Karen about that. Senate Bill 102 will provide internet for schools that run under 25 megabytes per second. We are not included in that. We, of course, have pretty good internet here in Petersburg, so that will benefit lots of schools within the state of Alaska, but not directly benefit us. Senate Bill 103 will end the Alaska Performance Scholarship Program. That is for a certain percentage of high school students. If they apply to go to school at a qualified school, I believe it's mostly the schools in-state, that they can receive a full scholarship or even a percentage of a scholarship. This would be the last year if Senate Bill 103 were to pass and become law, that this graduating class would be the last ones to be able to apply for it and receive those scholarships that really have made a difference in the last few years for keeping students going to school in-state and keeping their skills here in-state instead of going going out into the world.
There was a lot of testimony given by the group that I was with, too, about that. I mean, just talking about the focus that it's brought to graduation requirements in high schools and and then just that idea of really encouraging kids to stay in state, potentially go to school here and then potentially become part of the workforce here. So there was quite a bit of concern about that, and then where they would get the money from that was also concerning, or where it would go.
So the Alaska part of that bill is also the Alaska Education Innovation Grant would give money to schools who create new ways to deliver education, for example, online learning, interactive learning stations. It's pretty generic how it's written. Right now, it would dissolve all of the Alaska Education Innovation Grant would be what used to be known as the Alaska Higher Education Fund or Trust. Mm-hmm. And those funds would be turned into this innovation grant. And basically, it sounds like it would be spent out within the next 3 years, and so then that fund would be dissolved. That's Senate Bill 103. Senate Bill 104, the State Board would review, test, and approve curriculum based on the five largest school districts and make that curriculum available to all districts to use. So Senate Bill 104, if it were to pass, would suspend districts from being required to review their language arts and math curriculum until this board would be able to basically tell us the best practices and the best curriculum to use based on the five largest school districts within the state of Alaska. And then at that point, when they make their recommendation, which should be done by July 2018, They get a year to figure out what's best. then it will be available for all districts to use, which may end up being a benefit, but sounds like a pretty quick timeline for that. And Senate Bill 96, which we were concerned about, that would have been a very large cut for us because it addressed schools that are running at under 80% capacity, and the capacity was based on square footage of your building. It wasn't really based on hard, reasonable numbers, just on what kind of square footage you had available, mm-hmm. and whether you were filling it with students. And two of our schools actually run at under 80%, the middle school and the high school. And so with Senate Bill 96 as it was written, unless we had combined those schools, we would have received a large cut. That has been suspended. They are reviewing that portion of the bill because it was dramatic cuts across 20 districts within the state and causing much more harm than what they could ever imagine in savings by combining those schools on road systems is what... basically what it was. So that one is one to watch. They could come back with that in later years with something that would have something to do with capacity and combining schools. And House Bill 83 would be a return to the defined benefit plan for PERS and TERS employees. That is receiving a hearing this week on Friday. Wednesday. In the Labor House and Labor and Commerce Committee, it would return. Right now, you know, we are on a
defined contribution.
Sorry, they're so close. Defined contribution versus a defined benefit, and this would be in hopes that we could return to a better benefit package to be able to offer to teachers and public employees. So that will be probably a very hard-fought battle for that bill, but it is getting a hearing, so one to watch.
That's a good one.
Well, that's all that
Thank
I have.
Thank you. Did you want to add anything?
Nope, Erica? That's okay. That was all the things we talked about this week, this weekend.
Thank you. Thanks, Mara. Next, any special recognition?
We had lots of special recognition earlier, right?
We did,
right?
Yes.
I would actually I will specially recognize Miss Irene Littleton for all of the work that she has done to coordinate said certificates that were given out earlier and coordinating and organizing the people to be where they're supposed to be. So it is a huge job, and it went very well, and we had nice attendance. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
Okay. Next, we'll move on to upcoming dates and media announcements. Exploratory Night is tomorrow night at the Wright Auditorium, starting at 6:30 for about an hour. Then on Thursday, we have the 2017-2018 Kindergarten Registration Open House at 6:30 at the grade school. And you can bring birth certificates and probably your vaccination records. Then we have Regional Art Fest, which will be happening here in Petersburg on April 19th through the 23rd, but with a special on Sunday, the 23rd at 6:30 in the high school gym. You'll be able to come see all the beautiful things that the artists have made over the weekend, so we encourage you to attend that. On the 23rd, or I guess I just said that, the 21st, I jumped back, in service, no school, district-wide. Teachers and staff will be working hard, but our kids will be off for the day, so... on the 25th, we have the high school spring music concert at 7 p.m. in the Wright Auditorium. And then we're already to the end of the month. On the 28th, we have a board work session at 8:30 in the morning in the district office. High school prom on the 29th, as well as I know Girls on the Run is having they're doing a run that morning as well. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be into May, setting the board agenda on May 1st. At 8:30 in the district office. Anybody who wants to do it with me and Erica and Irene? Good night. Who's available?
What day is that?
First. It's probably earlier in the week.
Monday.
It's a Monday. Okay.
We could do a Friday morning too.
Yep. It doesn't. The either Friday one before. Will work better.
Okay, on Fridays, but.
What is that Friday? I guess that's the 20th. Oh, we have our work session that day. Well.
Oh, the 28th? Let's just do it. We could just do it after that.
Do it after that?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, that would be
somebody
great.
Somebody else could stay and do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll do it on the 28th.
Okay.
And April 3rd is the...
May 3rd.
May 3rd. Oh, thank you. May 3rd is the Grade 4 Stikine River Trip, which sounds like it'll be exciting. And then May 9th is our Campus Connections with KFSK at 12:30. Anybody?
I can't. I'm too busy at the noon hour in May.
Okay. I can do it.
Crazy for you, huh? Brandy, I've been doing it.
I might not be here that day.
Okay.
Well, put my output, and we can see if Cheryl's available. If not, I'm sure... Erica and I can handle it.
Do it. Okay.
KFSK is usually nice to us.
They're not, they're always...
Yes. Get a cleaning at the same time.
While I'm working.
Well, the med
appointment then, right?
Yeah. Sure. The med students do that here all the time. You go in, like, we could bring people to
sure.
your home.
Okay.
Right? Every time I go, there's like five people in there. I don't know. At the doctor's office.
And, excuse me, our regular board meeting on the 9th of May. And graduation is?
Graduation is the Tuesday the
30th.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeesh. I just got confirmation that baccalaureate is Monday the 22nd.
So. Okay. So May 22nd is baccalaureate. So that's all the way into May. We'll talk about it again. But, ooh. Before we know
it's
it.
It's coming, though.
I know.
Crazy.
It'll be on us. Okay. We don't have any old business. We'll move on to new business. 14.1, which is the Healthy Living Grant and Wellness Committee, and Ginger Evans, the grant coordinator, will give us an update.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's been another busy year of ups and downs, and we're ending on an up note because I guess the best news is that we have one more year of the grant. Found that out in January. So we had started out the year kind of thinking, okay, what do we need to do to wrap up? And then halfway through had to switch gears and think about, okay, so what can we do to extend things out? So so far this year, as far as the Wellness Committee goes, we have met twice. In September and January, and hoping to meet again in April and May. The goal is always to try to meet four times a year, and we had a meeting scheduled, but then another meeting came up, and so we had to reschedule the second meeting, so then it kind of puts out the, you know, it kind of just changes the whole dynamics for that. But we are within our guidelines to be in compliance with our wellness policy, BP 5040, with that. So we're doing really well with that, and I did put, you can access those minutes if you would like to. So as far as BP 5040, the Student Nutrition and Physical Activity Policy, it's still in good standing. We just reviewed that. I think we were debating about that, whether it was last spring or the spring before, if it's been 2 years. There has been a new and improved gold standard wellness policy that has been put out there, and it's something that we can look at in the fall if we want to make some changes. They're just really subtle changes, but again, we have our policies probably one of the best ones in the state aligning with the gold standard wellness policy, so I don't see that there's too much that we need to do. But it's also staying in compliance with some new regulations, and whether they're federal or state. So, but we're in good shape with that, so it's kind of nice not to have to review that right now. But the big one that made a change with the policy, or what we how we, not necessarily how Petersburg deals with school, was the SB 200 that got passed last spring. Which was the mandatory physical activity in schools that was passed by the state, which was an act relating to health education and physical activity requirements for students in grades kindergarten through 8. So basically, we weren't too worried about it as a district when talking about it, knowing that it was going to possibly pass, and it did, because we already meet the requirements that are in there. Students in grades K through 8 need to be active 54 minutes a day, and through physical education class, recess, and then just activity breaks that kids take in their classroom. We more than meet that in those grade levels. And in the middle school, 6th grade has PE every day, and 7th and 8th graders have PE every day. So we are well in compliance with that. There is not a high school requirement, because I think they looked at it across the state and realized that it just would be kind of a jumbled mess, but to try to figure out that, and then to add another potential requirement onto high school, you know, as they're looking at graduation requirements, was that was a little bit more than they could tackle. But again, in high school here, we do require all freshmen to take a semester of PE their freshman year, and then they have one more semester they need to take sometime throughout their 4 years in the high school. So so that's what, you know, some big things as far as progress this year that we're kind of goals or things that we knew we needed to take care of, and the Wellness Committee talked about it, and then a smaller subcommittee met. We did finish and the Smart Snacks and School Waiver, when that was meeting with Erica and Rick and Jamie and Carly Johnson about what does that look like, and Carly is really, you know, an expert in that area, and she helped out quite a bit of what we needed to do with requirements for what that looks like, and a lot of it dealt with fundraisers and fundraisers during school, meeting compliance with that. We've done a really good job of, in our vending machines, making sure that the snacks that are available in them are meet those requirements. And then it just meant that if schools needed to have waivers, if they're going to do certain activities in the building and honoring, like, cultural events in the classroom. So, like, if there's things that we really feel are valuable, like celebrations right before winter break, Valentine's Day, Mayfest, or a couple other things, then just fill it out, and the whole school gets a waiver for that day. And what was it for the elementary school? Was it 10 for the year, 12?
I think it was
10. 10 for the year.
Yeah.
And then the middle school, high school is, like, 24 exemptions or waivers we could have. And we don't feel like we would ever meet those, but that's just, that is a federal guideline. It's not necessarily, and then what the state had decided for the state of Alaska. So that was really nice to get that done in way, and we've had waivers been applied for and in a timely manner and everything, so it's been great. So we're continuing to collaborate with Erin Michael, the public health nurse in Petersburg. She's absolutely wonderful to help come in and help us with things that we need to do for compliance, as well as coming to the meetings, and then partnerships with other community organizations to promote wellness. We've already gone over the vendors. Another thing that we're working on, and we completed the HECAT, which is the Health Education Curriculum Analysis Tool, to look at what where the elementary school is at with curriculum, which is nice because we're in our first year of the review of health and PE. So elementary school is all complete, middle school is complete, and just waiting for the high school to complete before I can compile all the data. And it doesn't get sent off anywhere, but it's kind of nice for us to have a document and say, here are some areas that when we're looking at the health curriculum, and we have it out there that we can say, okay, we found this out last year, so what are we going to do? What do we want to put in here, or how can we make an improvement in that area of that piece of the curriculum? And then for the PCAT, which is the Physical Education Curriculum Analysis Tool, we're going to be working on that this Friday, April 14th, and we should be able to get it done in one day with that. And again, just that we're working on the first year of the review cycle for PE and health curriculum, and the big one that I believe will be addressed later is the Alaska Safe Children's Act. That's in progress. We met on Friday, had some really good conversation, and had community members. Annette Wooten came, and Erin Michael is there as well to have what they're seeing, and Erin gave some information in other communities that she works in, what they're doing to help come into compliance, as well as we've been able to reach out to other school districts to see what they've been doing, so that's been good. So as far as just a brief synopsis, in the fall for the grant, the Healthy Living Grant, four of us went to the Alaska School Health and Wellness Institute, which is a mandatory training that we have to go to and to be in compliance with the grant. It was great, and we all came back and gave in-services to the staff and utilizing some of the material that we learned from there. So it was a great conference, lots of good information presented. I attend teleconferences and my schedule allows. The hard part with some of the teleconferences is they will be like 4 p.m. East Coast time, which is noon here, and I'm teaching. So it's like, oh, they're great subjects, but there are occasionally some that are 8 in the morning, and I'm like, yes, I can go and be a part of that. So those have been fun to be a part of. And then also being on some webinars with ESSA to see how that pertains to physical activity and physical education. Helped to support bringing mindfulness training in August to Petersburg, and that was really great. And then also buying some resources to be utilized that are available for teachers, and there's teachers that will check out the books that have been purchased. And I've worked a lot with Joyce Burke Biggs in the elementary school, and she's using some of those techniques, as well as incorporating some green tree yoga, which is the mindfulness practice with the elementary kids, with what she does with them. So that's been fun. I've met with Jamie Cabral, and as well as some coaches, determining if there's anything that the grant could do to help with the activities. Just a few things that have been purchased, like foam rollers, have been used for cross-country, physical education, basketball, and also a couple teachers have put them in their classrooms at times for self-regulation, so if a student sometimes rolling and something helps to soothe them and calm them down, so that's been really good. Water coolers that do not advertise specific sports drinks, because that's a requirement that's coming down, that we're not technically supposed to have a big water jug that says Gatorade, because it goes against what, you know, the sugary drinks. So that's been kind of nice. So those are available for things. So those are just a few examples. Recently, we just purchased new floaties for the swim program. Mm-hmm. Dan V came to me with a need of saying, hey, if you have some money, you know, we need some new swim floaties. And so we were able to purchase about 60, 50 of them to help out. And so that's kind of a nice thing to do, too. I meet with the administrators throughout the year as time allows to talk about what ideas they might have or what I can do with the grant. And we just had a really good meeting about right after spring break, or was it right before? Right around there. It was the crazy time. Mm-hmm. That's good. So, and then I'm responsible for filing quarterly narratives and action plans updates of what we're doing, what we've accomplished. And then I work with Karen Quitzlin, and Karen's absolutely fabulous of helping to keep track of, you know, the money being spent and where it's going. So it's been great working with Karen. And then I've been sending out kind of every 2 months, I try to put together a Healthy Living Grant newsletter with happenings in the communities, events that are coming up, links to different fitness articles, health tips from the CDC, and so on, just things that are going on, and if we're doing some stuff, wellness initiatives, or let's get together and let's try to see, you know, what we want to do as far as health and wellness challenges. And so that's kind of fun to do. And one exciting thing that we did receive, and we finally got the paperwork, was that right before spring break? We finally got the final paperwork on our additional $5,000. So last spring, when we took on the task of writing the PEP grant, and we wrote this massive document and sent it off, we didn't end up getting the grant. However, we sent it on to Lauren, too, who oversees the whole grant. And from that, she saw that we had wanted to do a lot of work with adaptive PE, physical activity, and looking at those needs in our district. We do a great job, but what can we do a little bit better? And she saw that, and she goes, well, you know, I have a little bit extra money that needs to get spent by the end of this fiscal year. Here, would you guys like an additional $5,000 to specifically gear towards that? And we're like, yes, we'll take it. So that's pretty exciting. So what we're thinking about doing with that is purchasing stand-up desks for middle and high school classes, about 10, to kind of pilot them in the classrooms, and planes, which are kind of balance boards, to help with self-regulations for all students in the classroom. So we thought that would be a good way to kind of distribute it. We know the elementary school does a lot of really neat things with helping with kids where they're sitting on a stability ball or some other chair or getting, you know, the ability, but just thinking about what can we do in the middle school and high school because they still have those same needs as they come over. And whether it's a kid who's sitting and says, hey, I need 10 minutes standing up, you know, they have the freedom and flexibility to go do that, and that might make the difference in their day. So, and that's also some of that information comes from the next item is that four of us took a class from Dr. Linda Chamberlain, who on the latest news from Trauma Informed Schools, and she's probably the expert in the state. She just got back from working in, was it Finland? Doing work in Finland with trauma-informed schools and things like that. But she did, they talked a lot about self-regulation and the benefits of that and really looking at that aspect and helping kids who definitely are coming to school with a lot of things that we may or may not know what's going on, and just having that little difference in the classroom can be huge. And so, and that is one thing that through the grant, we were able to pay for the registration fee for all four of us. We did, there was probably even a larger group, was it like 20 of us? Two or three years ago, took a big class by Dr. Chamberlain, which the grant also paid for the registration fee for that, because it falls into in line with that, and Dr. Chamberlain has spoken at the Health and Wellness Institute as well. And then I put in the link there if you guys want to access the paper that we wrote, which talked a lot about self-regulation. It also talked about little things we can do in classrooms as far as changing even the lighting in the middle school, high school classrooms, because there are the buzzing lights, there are, you know, the fluorescent lights, and I know the lighting has been changed in elementary school, and that's made a big difference. But our lighting and everything's it's getting pretty old, and so just thinking about some of those components. And it was a lot of fun working with Rachel and Dave and Bridget with that, and talking about things as we were introducing them during the class. And vending machine placards have for the beverage machine outside the gym doors. The new placards have been ordered. Is that correct?
Okay. I think so, yeah.
Okay, so they should be coming soon. And it's just going to say Vikings on it because that's another requirement that we're not supposed to have a vending machine that actually advertises Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Powerade, things like that, which is kind of a...
All the rules.
Yeah, lots of rules coming from the federal government. And then a partnership with PI. I haven't been able to attend as many meetings this year as I have in the past, but I have been able to help support PI events and provide healthy snacks for them, and it's really neat to see that, you know, having fruit trays or veggie trays at events, and the kids, they're all gone by the end of the night. So it's very exciting to see that. Help to support Girls on the Run with a variety of different things, whether it's helping to provide snacks for the race or other materials that are needed throughout that program. And I also work with Joyce to help support health kits in the upper elementary school that she puts together through her curriculum that she teaches.
Recently, I've met with Ricky McKay about getting a Let Me Run program together, which is pretty much a Girls on the Run program for boys. And it's for fourth and fifth graders in elementary school and goes all the way through sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. So Ricky's idea is to try to actually bring a trainer to Petersburg, which would be less expensive than sending a whole bunch of people out. And then she'd get trained as a coach and trainer, and then she could train other people. But she'd really like to see that program get going as an extension of her job working with WAVE now. And so she's pretty excited about that, to get that going. I've also helped with the grant. We talk about, and I work with Rachel and the admin team to help support being able to pay for the YRBS and the School Climate and Connectedness Survey. So we split the money through the suicide prevention grant and a healthy living grant to help pay for that. So that's one thing that we do, because that data is also, we talk about, and that data that we receive from both of those surveys is then beneficial for writing grants. It's amazing how many grants out there that actually want that information, and those are not cheap surveys. Mm-hmm. I think one was $5,500.
Yeah,
the
School Climate Connections was super expensive.
Yeah,
sure.
The YRBS is
that one's
free.
That one's
now.
Yeah, that's
it's free now. But having to organize with that. And then one thing that's not necessarily funded through the grant or anything, but I work with the Salvation Army, and they themselves wrote a grant to help provide weekend backpacks for some of our school-aged children, and all the elementary, middle school, and high school. So I helped to coordinate that with the Salvation Army. I bring the backpacks back to them midweek. They fill them up, and then I help to distribute them throughout the school. There's another organization in town that has dedicated funds from a garage sale. 25% of their proceeds has been created an ASV account that helps to pay for fruit and veggies, so then I go and buy the fruit and veggies for the backpacks. So it's really kind of nice to see that they actually came to me knowing what I was doing with the grant and said we can help out with that. And so that's been a really successful program. We have kids come on, and then we have some kids, you know, mid-year, their parents will call and say, okay, we don't need it anymore, but thanks for giving it to us when we need it. So it's been really beneficial. I think we're up to, at one time this winter, we were at 11 backpacks at the elementary school weekend, and we've been pretty consistent with 5 to 6 in the middle school, and we're about 4 in high school. So it's been really successful, and that's probably been pretty rewarding, too, to see that the grant's extending other parts of the community. And then just that we have one more year for next year.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Any questions?
No, but I think that would be interesting to read your links. Go to the links and read those.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Next, we will move on to Director of Finance, Karen Fitzlin, will present information regarding the budget process and legislative actions that may affect our next year's budget.
So we're not really in a point to do a budget presentation. So what we're actually doing is kind of talking a little bit about the budget process. I don't know if you guys actually want to move around here or... Okay. We're going to talk more about the budget process and some of the factors that are going to affect our fiscal year 18 budget. So one of the things I wanted to do is provide some historical data for you guys to see, so you can see what some of what our student enrollment has looked like for the last, 6 years. So we have lots of fluctuation, but we are definitely on an incline in our enrollment right now. We're projected at 479 for next year. How that number comes about is Miss Irene does research and finds out how many students will be coming into kindergarten, and then we roll those numbers out, and we do know that this incoming kindergarten class is at least 46. This year and last year it was 44. So again, small increase in our enrollment, which affects our foundation funding. Yep. So I also wanted to break it down by schools just for you guys to have a visual. I know it's a lot of information on that because I went all the way back to fiscal year 5. The trends pretty much are what we expect, really. It is interesting to look at the last 2 years, the elementary school, which is in blue, so fiscal year 17, what we're currently in fiscal year 16, our elementary school enrollment is the same size, and the same with the middle school. We've had a slight increase in the high school. That we've presented this actual slide before, now it's just updated. So I wanted to also provide you guys with a graphical representation of the actual cost of our programming. And it's pretty consistent with how I would expect it to look, with the exception of fiscal year 15. There's quite an anomaly in that year. That year, the reason why our budget basically doubled is because of the on-behalf rates for TERS and PERS. TERS, it was 54.81%. And again, we're required to show that in our expenditures because we're also reflecting that in our revenue, even though it is not a cash transaction that goes through the school district. We are required to report it on our financials. All of this information, with the exception of 2017, comes directly out of our financial statements that I know you guys look at all the time. So there's we expect regular instruction to be our highest expenditure, and then also SPED, we expect that to be coming in there as one of the higher budgets as well, and then maintenance. Nothing out of this looks unexpected. This looks pretty standard. Do you have any questions, though, about what the different functions are when I say regular instruction or SPED or support services? Because I think that I take this directly off the financial information. I just want to make sure that the board understands what it is we're doing in each of these.
Can you just support services students versus support student?
Okay, yep.
Instruction?
Do you want me to go through all of them? Okay, regular instruction is obviously our... Yep, sure. Regular instruction is our kindergarten classes, all of our science classes, our math classes, our English classes, our Spanish classes. So basically a regular instruction. Our SPED program is tied with our SPED teachers and our intensive students. Support services students, that is our counseling budget. Okay. Support services instruction, that is our library and our technology budget. School administration, that's our principal budget. School administration support services are our secretaries. District administration is the superintendent and the board's budgets. District administration support services is the finance office. Operations and maintenance, that's maintenance, and student activities. Okay, yes. I also wanted to provide a visual of what our general fund costs are in comparison with our salaries and benefits and utilities and fuel, because we talk a lot about how much disposable revenue or expenditures do we have. Well, we don't have very much. The blue represents our total actual budget, either what we've actually spent or what we're budgeting for. The red is salaries and benefits, and again, you can see in 2015, both of those are super high because of the PERS and TERS on behalf number. And then I also included utilities and heating fuel because I just wanted to show, first of all, that there is definitely a trend of that expenditure going down. From 2011, we spent $667,000 on heating fuel and utilities. And in 2016, we spent $450,473. That's a reduction of $217,000. That's from the energy efficiencies. It's from Dan really monitoring all of the buildings. I don't think it's a very common trend that we're actually spending less on our utilities and our fuel. So I definitely wanted to point that out. When I take those two numbers, the salaries and the benefits, and I add the utilities and fuel, basically it goes between 87 to 90% of our budget is spent on these fixed costs. So we only have about 10% of our actual budget that we can spend on teaching supplies, any type of contract we might have with another vendor, professional development, student activities. So it is important to keep that in mind as we're talking about next year. Any questions about that one? Oh, sorry, Erica. Again, I also wanted to provide, what does foundation funding enrollment look like? Well, it's kind of all over the place because you can see our enrollment numbers, they fluctuate, but I'll tell you, we went into Hold Harmless, I think, back in 2012, which is a provision written into the foundation formula that says rather than when your enrollment drops from 486 to 426, rather than just throw you off the cliff, we've written a provision in there to help ease the pain. And that pain is scheduled over 3 years. And if you make another large leap, they extend it beyond that. So you have to drop a certain amount. The last year we received the Hold Harmless was in fiscal 15. So I put a trend line in there. We're increasing in our foundation funding. That's great. And I also put our projected 479. This is fiscal year 18. If we were to stay flat funded, we would get just over $6 million. With House Bill 57, which I'll go into a little bit more, that 5% reduction is that $5.8 million that's down there with the blue. So we would take a huge drop in our foundation funding. And it's also important to know that our foundation funding is 90% of our revenue sources. I think we can go ahead. Oh, and I know you didn't want to know about this, but foundation funding, this is how I come up with these numbers, and I realize it's really hard to see. But Irene takes these numbers with these projections, and she sends them to the state, and that's the number that I use when I am figuring out our projected 2018 budget. So in the elementary, we're projecting 229 students, the high school 153, the middle school 97. In statute, that green box down there, we have to run each of those numbers through basically a factor and come up with a school size adjustment. Now earlier we were talking about Senate Bill 96. If we go to a two school, our funding actually drops quite a bit. We're a three school right now. Two school ends up being 425 or less. So we take this number, we come up with an adjusted school size. Okay, go ahead, Erica. And the second part of this formula that is super important is our assessed property values for Petersburg. So our fiscal year 16 assessed property values are $437 million. They take that number and they run it through projections on a basic need, and they come up with a required local contribution. Two things that are interesting with this particular part of the foundation formula is that our property values from fiscal 15 decreased by $28 million. And I do need to check it with Jody about this because that seems like such a huge amount for them to drop. But I checked with the state, and the property values that I have in the formula right now are correct. That is what the state is using as well. And I know that the fiscal 15 are correct as well because I didn't have them correct initially at the beginning of this school year. So it takes the assessed value, projects out a basic need. It looks at 2 years of the basic need, comes up with a required local effort. There's a minimum and there's a maximum. The minimum is $1.159 million. And the maximum is 2.7. Right now, the borough has committed to funding us at 1.8 again for fiscal 18. They make up that contribution out of some secure rural schools funding and some of their operating budget. And we've been at about 1.8 for, I think, at least 10 years, 15. So this makes up approximately 8% of our budget. And I know you probably don't find this funding as interesting as I do, but I'm going to pull it all together for you on the next slide. You know. So this is actually the calculation on how we come through with our actual projected total state entitlement. We have our projected ADM at 479, runs through the school size adjustment, which was that first screen. Then it runs through a whole bunch of different factors, and it comes up with a district adjusted ADM of 1,231.58. That number there is what is multiplied times the BSA, base student allocation, of 5,930. Come up with a basic need, $7,303,000. We have the required local effort of $1.1 million. That's subtracted to come up with the state aid. And then they toss in a little bit extra for quality schools. So if we were flat funded, we're going to get $6,163,290. Do we really think that's going to happen? Probably not. With House Bill 57, the proposed 5% cut is actually not legislative changes to the foundation formula. What they're proposing to do is short fund the foundation altogether. And if they end up going forward with that, it actually ends up being about 5.7% that we would be short funded. So this is not an actual change in the foundation formula, because that requires legislation.
There was a lot of conversation in Juneau about this issue, the basic need issue, and making sure people understand that, about that it's up to BSA, and that there's actually potentially some legal issues with even the 5% reduction, because it is short funded. They're having to go back and look at statute and
So when we say we're going to have 479 students in the school, like when I first started, I thought that meant I just take 479 and multiply it times whatever the BSA is, because that seems logical. But that's not the way that this formula is written into law. And I did go back to the fiscal note to see if they had changed the language in the BSA. That first slide I showed you with the green, where we run it through the factors, and they didn't change that, and that's when I realized they're just short funding it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Wasn't that exciting? This is what I do on a daily basis.
Good information.
So let's talk about some of the implications.
Oh, can I back up one more?
Okay.
I'm sorry. I was just also going to say, on the local contribution, so we are not funded to the cap, to the maximum in our community, but there are districts, that whole conversation about the 5% being less actually impacts that in communities where they are funded to the cap. It actually lowers that, so they could potentially be hit twice, districts that are already mm-hmm. dealing with that. So.
Yep. Anyway. So there are two different numbers that are actually floating around there, around House Bill 57, because the Department of Education has calculated one number, and that's at 4.77, which would be essentially $294,000 for our district. But what is written in the legislative finance is the $335,000. So it will be interesting to see as this progresses through, because they're moving through it really quickly. What number will actually be used. So
that was also a big discussion up there, too, because everybody was trying to get an actual accurate number, and there were two or three different charts floating around in the Senate, in the House, from the Department of Ed.
And my numbers, when I ran the numbers, they matched totally with Mindy from the Department of Ed.
Yeah.
But I did actually email her to make sure I was using the right property value.
Yeah.
So three scenarios. Obviously, the 5% decrease to foundation, if that passes, we're going to receive. If we take the legislative numbers, 335,000, or funding of just over 5.8 million, probably more realistically, we're going to meet somewhere in between flat and 5%. I don't know if it'll come in at 2.5%, but I just wanted to show, even at a 2.5% increase, it's still $167,000. It's a lot of money on a budget this year where we didn't transfer any funds out
for food service or bus transportation. There are other factors that go into our operating budget. We don't receive enough funding for our transportation program, and it's very normal for food service to not be self-funding as well, because it's just not, you have to cover payroll basically in the food service program. So these are things that we're going to have to think about, talk about, if House Bill 57 passes, or even if there's a decrease to the foundation funding. I would be more inclined to go with the middle. I think flat funding would be very optimistic. It would be great. We would be in great shape, but I can't see that happening, unfortunately. If I pull out the magic ball and, you know, try and predict the future. Mm-hmm. Okay, Erica, go to the next one, please. So some other implications that we have to take into consideration. You know, we're looking at a shortfall of our foundation funding, which of $335,000, but we're also looking at salary increases. Across the board, everyone's getting a 1% salary increase in the negotiated agreements. The exempt employees follow the certified steps or increase for their salary. Positive news, the municipal rate passed its first reading for a $25 base fee and an 8 cent per kilowatt hour. That would provide a potential savings of approximately $90,000. So that's great news. There's two more readings for that before it passes. And this is also great news. Our health insurance costs are reducing. Fiscal 17, our insurance costs, total insurance costs, employee and employer, is $1.3 million. The employee portion of it is approximately $263,000, and the district's portion is it's $1.1 million. So we're with Public Education Health Trust, and they have seen a savings in their own claims, and they're passing that back to the members of the trust. In addition to that, what they've done is they have established tiers instead of a composite rate. And so I provided on this slide what the monthly premiums are for fiscal 17 and also what they will be for fiscal 18. All of the tiers are going to see a decrease with the exception of employee only. They're going to see a $10 increase in their monthly premium. These tiers are provided by the trust, and they follow the negotiated agreement stating that the district will cover 80% of the premium and the employee will cover 20% of it. So this will actually be...
Not even what the employee pays.
Say that again?
No.
I'm just in shock.
Continue.
You haven't seen these kind of rates in years.
Anywhere
it's
got to
be the lowest in the community. There, nobody has these premium levels.
That's great. School district, but... Mm-hmm.
We're going to see, with the tiers in the reduction, we're going to actually see a total savings in fiscal 18 of $93,000, a total annual savings.
Wow.
So it is pretty exciting, actually. It's very positive that we're seeing our rates not go up, you know, 10%. I was projecting at least 7% increase. So this was good news.
It's great news.
And we're going to put these premiums on the paperwork that everyone acknowledges that they received the Affordable Care Act, so that they'll have the information. Because really our premiums are not publicized anywhere, because they, you know, premiums fluctuate. Mm-hmm. And so we'll get that information out for employees. Mm-hmm. So again, I feel like it's just too soon for me to present a budget for fiscal 18, given House Bill 57. So I would like to present it in June. That doesn't mean that we won't need to have some work sessions if House Bill 57 passes, or if something definitive as far as a decrease to the foundation does seem like it's going to pass. We probably do need to have some work sessions and reconfigure the Budget Committee, because I think we dissembled that a few years ago. Mm-hmm. I would like to provide the fiscal 17 budget revision in May, so that we can actually end our year with our maximum fund balance. So our fund balance typically, our ending fund balance is typically between 800 and 900,000. Kind of depends on what our expenditures are for the year. It has definitely increased. We definitely have carried the maximum amount. I think we were at 19.9 last year. Mm-hmm. But to give the board and the listening public an idea, $800,000. Our March 2017 bills were $819,000. So that would cover not even 1 month of bills. Granted, March was a higher month just because of the way the P cards worked out, our credit cards worked out, and we had a little bit higher. We did reimbursements for health insurance, so our payroll was a little higher. We finished paying out some of our contracts that we have with CERC, so they were a little bit higher. But even on a regular month, we've got about 6 weeks of operating mm-hmm. on $800,000. If we're just talking payroll, we've got 2 months mm-hmm. and nothing else, which that would be great if we could get that changed. And it is in legislation right now to change the ending fund balance to 25%, which would definitely be a benefit. Nice. So, on that note, is there any questions, comments?
It would be great if they don't give us any funds to actually save.
I know.
So,
but we, you know, just even simple things like a mild mm-hmm. winter again, you know, mm-hmm. just.
Yeah. Yeah,
let us keep saying that for the cold winter the next mm-hmm. year.
That's true.
Anyway, I know, but you do require.
You are.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank
very
you
much.
So
I was very thorough and
helpful.
Easy to understand.
Yeah,
helpful.
It's great.
Moving on to more fun topics, and I say that facetiously. Policy 1, or policy at the first reading of Board Policy 5141.41, Sexual Abuse, Sexual Assault, and Dating Violence Awareness and Prevention. The Policy Committee continues to review the Association of Alaska School Boards recommendation for policy changes due to legislative actions. I'll make a motion to approve the listed policy at its first reading.
Second.
Okay, motions been made and seconded. And any discussion?
I just thought it would be nice to somehow have a work session with that where we could present that information to the public, the parents.
Okay.
Like we do for sex education, so they can mm-hmm. see what we're talking to.
That is the plan, mm-hmm.
that is
okay. to bring to the first second reading in May at the board meeting, and these guys could weigh in on that too. But we had a meeting on Friday specifically about Alaska Safe Children's Act, which is what this policy addresses, and we're working on the requirements for materials that have been suggested by the task force. And what we were kind of in the process of reviewing those right now, looking at what some other districts have adopted as well that satisfy that, and then the requirements related to information that needs to go out in the letter to parents and that sort of thing. So yeah, we want to get information out there so people can have the opportunity to review, which people have always had the opportunity to review, but the biggest change here is a lot of the programs that we've done have not necessarily been done every single year, and that's part of the law now. So you know, we've sort of done different things in elementary, maybe 4 years out of the six, or you know, sixth grade has a component in health, eighth grade might have a component in health, you know, but it's not K-12 for the one part and then 7-12 for the other. So yeah,
could we maybe just look at, I guess, with our work session we have on the 28th, if the policy committee looking at those materials, if mm-hmm. we would have more time to look at them so that,
mm-hmm.
and I know the public, like you said, work session with the public can see it too, but I think I'd like to probably see it.
I don't know if we'd be ready by the 28th,
okay.
but we could certainly do kind of like we did with the curriculum
mm-hmm.
on a Friday, maybe on the Friday before the board meeting, mm-hmm. whatever that date is. The only concern I would have
is that if it's during the day, it might be difficult. You know, if any parents wanted to come to it, it would be difficult.
Right.
I don't know. It's not like we have people knocking on the door on our work sessions. But
I guess just to reassure people too, if they're listening and mm-hmm. want to know what this is all about, if you want to just Google that, I mean, Alaska Safe Children's Act and the task force, there's a paper out there that is actually what's guiding everybody's work. There's objectives that are very specific. There's a guide. There are specific curricula that are on that list that to be considered. So if people want to even go look at those now, they can. Do you know
what
I mean?
And that's what we would be picking from?
Yes.
Okay.
So just, I mean, I guess just to say that out loud, but mm-hmm. that, you know, and it's not a list that's 50 pages long. It's
okay.
So, I mean, if people want to go look, they can. There are things that have been vetted by a task force of educators, health professionals, public health people, okay. parents. Anyway, a lot of people have done a lot of work already, so we just need to figure out how we're going to implement it and, you know, make plans for that for next year and for training. So it's up to you guys. I mean, we can...
There's that patch. I put that on the website pretty easily. That from the state, it's got that one page from back as the curricula, you know, suggested topic breakdown. That'd be pretty easy reference if you think people go to the district website.
Yeah, that's fine. And like I say, that task force report, that's where it came from. It's just, I mean, if people want it, it's an overview. It's got lots of good information in it. So, yeah, we can attach it there.
Okay. And maybe the link to that particular website on our Facebook page, so if people, after listening tonight, want to go out and just...
Sure.
Even you can Google it, but mm-hmm.
Well, I guess just to lower the level of if there is stress out there. But this, you know, this education isn't new to our district. I mean, we have been providing, and rightfully so, information for our children and about sexual abuse, sexual assault awareness, and then for the older students, the dating violence awareness mm-hmm. and prevention. So it's not new per se. It's just being more formalized and really that we have to provide something across all the grade levels that are required now, because that hasn't been the case.
Oh, okay.
You know,
very specific. Yeah.
It's been specific grade levels, so mm-hmm. yeah, just to reassure people about that. But yeah, we'll put whatever information out there people want to look at, but that task force report is a good one to look at for people that are out there, and we can put it on the website too and put it on Facebook as well.
So would that list any videos or shows or anything like that they'd be showing in the classrooms if parents wanted to see?
Yes, you can look at the ones that probably are online, probably don't have everything because that's how they sell it to you. I mean, you know, they can if people might take it. We're trying to get the final pieces of the Safer Smarter Teens one, right? The Safer Smarter Teens, we're trying to get all of that to actually review.
We got some information, but it ended up being redundant of the information we already had.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're still trying to get the whole curriculum or all the materials. They're sometimes reluctant to give everything out just because then if people take that, if they like copy it or, you know, just...
And we're also trying to figure out, like, with some of the curriculum, you have to have the teachers that are teaching it trained by a specific trainer.
Right, one of them on that list, yes.
And then you have to get mm-hmm. signed off. And so there are some online trainings available that are coming up. So we have to talk about whether that, you know, how many people are we looking at would have to be trained in that. If we're really looking at, I think the one, the fourth R was like, we were looking at maybe 6-12. Mm-hmm. So then we're looking at quite a few teachers that would have to be.
That requires more, yes. More training for implementation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cheryl File has joined us. Yay!
From her senior activity. So probably what would be, I mean, people can look at what people can see what we can see right now. I think if we want to plan a work session like we did with the curriculum, that would be good.
Okay.
We are trying to get the whole curriculum if we can, and so that, but we don't have it right now. So we would have it closer to probably the board meeting. So
isn't this just more of like the actual policy itself, not how it's going to be implemented?
Right.
So that has mm-hmm. to be, I mean, how it's going to be implemented, it can be worked on mm-hmm. later, the policy.
Pass the policy.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. The policy needs to be adopted. I would encourage you to adopt it at first reading, and then get to second reading in May, because it's law. We have to do this by June 30th. So how we implement it is what we're still sorting out.
Working on. Okay.
So.
And maybe that's our work session.